Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Awesome to see you in the house of God this morning. Welcome to a City Light Christmas. We're well into a series, and it's called All for the King. All for the King. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? All for the King. You just bow your heads, and we're going to ask God's blessing on his word today. Thank you, Father, for the presence of Jesus here. Father, you're here by your Spirit, and I know you want to speak to us by your Spirit. And I'm so glad to use people like me, humble, to be able to preach and to speak about you this morning. So will you anoint my mind, my mouth, my message, and I want every ear to hear truth that helps us and sets us free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're talking about all about the King. Our Christmas series is entitled All About the King. And we're going to hone in, and we're going to be a bit more specific. And today we're going to talk about the wonder of the King. Can you say with me? The wonder of the King. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 and read from verse 6 these words. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Say with me, wonderful. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. These words were actually spoken 800 years before Christ came. 800 years. And the first word that Isaiah uses here to describe the coming king is wonderful. And he will be called wonderful. You know, we use words like, well, that's incredible, that's awesome, that's fantastic, for some very ordinary things, don't we? But, you know, the way that Isaiah was using the word wonderful, he didn't mean any of those things. You know what? What is wonderful? When Isaiah said wonderful, you know what he meant? He meant mind-boggling. He meant beyond understanding. Wonderful is where your faith has to kick in before you can even begin to understand it. You know, so sometimes the way that we use the words wonderful and incredible, sometimes I wonder if we've lost our wonder. Because wonderful is not something, you know, Jesus, you know, God didn't mean, well, something ordinary. Well, wonderful is something ordinary, something nice, you know, something lovely, something pleasant. No, he meant something that was so incredible that it literally blew your mind. You know, perhaps the word that best describes what Isaiah is trying to say about this Christ child is the word incomprehensible. Incomprehensible, something out of the ordinary, out of the realm of human explanation. Something that literally cannot be explained. Like I said, it's something that where your faith has to kick in order to understand the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of this Christ child, of what God did. You know, when you think of wonderful things, what things do you think of? There are several things that I think of when I think of something being wonderful. Here's the first thing I think of: the universe. The universe. The stars, the planets, the sun, you know, the size and the scope of our universe and universes beyond our universe, right? Billions of stars, planets, galaxies that are literally light years away. You know, humanity, science, with all its technology, can only get just a tiny glimpse of all that's out there, let alone understand how it even operates, right? It's wonderful. It's incomprehensible. It's amazing. And guess what? God made it all. I said, one of my favorite pastimes, I've shared this before, in summertime, I love to lay on our deck couch by myself and just look up at the stars. Sometimes, I remember one time I couldn't sleep. It was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I thought, and it was really warm and hot. I just laid on that, on the deck, and I just felt the presence of God. It was amazing. It's the wonder of the universe. How about this? You know, we have a macro view of God. How about a micro view of God? You know what's wonderful? This, a snowflake. Isn't that, you know, snowflakes, they say that there's no two snowflakes that are alike. That's amazing. You know, it's December, right? And they're all over the place. So we walk in them, we walk on them, we drive on them. But yet, a snowflake, each snowflake, so exquisite. So delicate, so beautiful, like hand-cut crystal, right? And yet so momentary. You get it on the tip of your tongue and it's gone, right? It's amazing. It's wonderful. And God created. Here's another thing that's wonderful. How about the wonder of a wedding day? How about the wonder of the day that you said, I do, right? Marriage is awesome. It's full of wonder and full of excitement. There's this marvelous element in marriage that the Bible says the two shall become one. Well, how does that happen? How does God take two souls and unite them together? You know what? It's supernatural. It's beyond explanation. You know, it's beyond understanding. It's wonderful. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. That Karen actually knows, she knows what I'm thinking. She knows my thoughts. In fact, she was gone for about a week. She was in Mexico. And I remember we're lying on a bed, you know, and I'm so glad my wife is back. And we're talking again. We get in this little argument, you know. And you know what she says? She says, I know what you're thinking. I know your thoughts. She almost always knows my thoughts. Well, not always, but most of the time. By the way, she knew... Otherwise, she'd be the Holy Spirit if she knew all my thoughts, right? It's amazing. I could start a sentence and Karen can finish it, right? Marriage is wonderful. You know, maybe you're here, you know, maybe some of us are starting to lose the wonder in our marriages. You know, it's just like that snowflake, right? If you look at your marriage through the eyes of wonder, perhaps you can get that wonder, that excitement back in your marriage. Amen? Right? You can get it back. Do you remember the day you said, I do? Do you remember when you stood almost toe to toe, hand to hand, eye to eye, and you looked in her eyes, or you looked in his eyes, and you said, I do. Do you remember that feeling? Wasn't that exciting? Remember the feelings you felt? It was exciting. It was like curiosity, like, I wonder what our life is going to be like. It's going to be so great. Marriage is marvelous. Marriage is wonderful, right? God made marriage. How about the wonder of a baby being born? How about the wonder of a newborn babe, right? If you're a dad, it's the best, you know, it's one of the best things about being a dad. Nothing like being a dad. Especially the first child being born, right? You're in the birthing room. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of yelling and screaming, right? There's a lot of passion in that room, right? And mom's pushing like crazy. And then the baby starts to come. And dad, he does either one or two things. He either cries or he faints. And he gets off the floor and he checks the fingers and the toes. Are they all there, right? He's thinking, how does God do that? Right? It's wonderful. You think, wow, the complexity of life. And that's exactly what David said in the Bible in Psalm 139:13. He said, wow, God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so what? Wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. God knitted and he formed our kids in the womb. Isn't that wonderful? It's amazing. It's beyond understanding. You see this child. How does God do that? It's wonderful. How about the wonder of worship? How about the wonder of worship? Sometimes it's that song. Maybe just that one song. And you're standing in the presence of God. And suddenly you feel your heart being moved. And your tears begin to flow. Wow. Worship is incredible, isn't it? Worship is, you know, it's just standing. Worship is about, you know, standing in the presence of God. It's about being with people, with other people who are hungry for God, and literally being in the presence of God Almighty Himself by the Spirit. Just standing there, just breathing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Worship literally has the ability to revive our soul and our spirit. Listen, your worship, your soul needs to drink. Your soul needs to eat, right? And I think it was Isaiah said, your soul will be fed with the richest of fare. He's talking about worship, being in the presence of God, just breathing in God's presence. And I say, worship is so powerful because worship is the food. Worship is the divine oxygen for your soul. And it can literally revive your soul. Amen? Worship is so powerful. It's wonderful. The Christian recording artist, Sandy Patty, sang this song called More Than Wonderful. Listen to the lyrics that she sang. She says, "For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. More than amazing. More than marvelous. More than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me." I say there's, if there's anything and anyone that's wonderful, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is so wonderful. He's wonderful because he's both God and man. He's wonderful because he was born to save humanity from their sins. He's wonderful because his love crosses every boundary, every border to reach every person, every language, every creed, every color. His love crosses every boundary to reach every person who is willing to receive him. Amen. He is the wonder of both saints and angels. No wonder the angel of heaven's hosts, of heaven's army, cried out, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to all mankind on whom his favor rests. Joy to the world. Joy to the world." We sing that song, "Joy to the World." The words of that old famous Christmas song, "Joy to the World. Joy to the World." We sang that song. That was our opening song. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Powerful hymns, a powerful Christmas song. This Christmas song was written by a gentleman named Isaac Watts in 1719. It's a beautiful 300-year-old song proclaiming Jesus, declaring Jesus, celebrating Jesus, singing of Jesus. This song is all about worshiping. Worshiping, adoring, celebrating Christ, the newborn King. See, Watts was inspired by the words in Psalm 98. Where the psalmist begins that in verse 1 by saying, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." And what the psalmist was saying was this, that there was no way that mankind could ever pay for their sins. Because all have sinned. The Bible says, and we all fall short of the glory of God. We could have never done anything to pay for our sins. And so God worked his own salvation by his right hand and his holy arm. And he did that by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. Psalm 91, he continues in verse 3. He says, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And then in verse 4, these are the words that inspired the Christmas song, Joy to the World. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. You ever heard a ram's horn? It is so loud. Trumpets, a blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. He says, celebrate with all your might, with all your heart. Just give it in your worship. You ever give it in worship? It's exhilarating. Imagine the worship they used to have in the temple. It was incredible. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Something uncommon. Out of the ordinary. Beyond explanation. Beyond human explanation. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is wonderful. He is so wonderful. Let me give you five. Just five reasons. I can give you 50. But let me just give you five quickly today. Number one. Jesus is wonderful because of his immaculate conception. Immaculate conception. He was born as a human being. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God literally put his seed into humanity. Humanity and divinity. Divinity and humanity literally became one in Jesus Christ. How was Mary pregnant? She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She wasn't even married yet. No wonder Joseph didn't want to marry her, because culturally, you know, hey, Mary, how did you get pregnant? You don't even married yet, Mary, and you're pregnant? Well, who made you pregnant? Mary says, Holy Spirit made me pregnant. That's amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, the Immaculate Conception. It's amazing. This is one of the most remarkable moments in all of history that we celebrate at Christmas time. So remarkable, the kings and princes literally bowed their knees that one beautiful morning when the baby was born, the Messiah, Christ, the King, Christ the Lord. You know what? It's so incredible to think that God would love us so much to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Isn't that so incredible? Here's the second reason why Jesus is for number one. So wonderful. His power to heal. His power to heal. Matthew 4:13. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and sickness. The Bible says everywhere Jesus went, he went doing good. He healed. He even raised the dead. Not only that, he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to give sight to the blind. He came to set the captives free. Free from the control of sin. The bondage of sin. The bondage of the devil. Free from addictions. He came to set us free. Isn't that amazing? He came to heal. And he came to do, he literally came to do what no one else had ever done before. And no one else could ever do. It was jaw-dropping. It was amazing. It was wonderful. And he literally turned the world upside down. You read the Gospels. Everywhere he went, he not only preached, he would also heal. Crowds, masses would throng after them because of his ability and his power to heal. You know what? It's for us today. God still heals today. Amen? Number three, Jesus is so wonderful because of his power to teach. Mark chapter 1:22 says the people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Jesus taught revolutionary concepts like love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, rejoice in your persecution, go the extra mile. It was literally unheard. They never heard stuff like that. It was counter to their culture. It was countercultural. Guess what? It was kingdom culture, right? Jesus drew crowds like crazy. You know why he drew crowds like crazy? Because it was the greatest teaching the world had ever heard. You know, he taught incredible life stories that even today may make us wonder. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And I love this scripture. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. He is the wisest of teachers. He is the source of all wisdom and understanding and truth. You know, the Pharisees, and he knew what was in the Pharisees' minds. And they always tried to trap him. You read the gospel, they tried to trick Jesus in what he was saying. But you know, how can you ever trick or trap the source of all wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? Right? He knew what was in their minds. He knew what was in the woman at the well's heart. See, God's word judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It's so powerful. The word of God is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's alive. Right? Jesus is so wonderful because of his powerful teaching and because of his word. Number four, Jesus is so wonderful because of his perfect life. Perfect life. Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest, Jesus, this high priest of ours, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. The Bible says he became like us in every way. He became human, except to sin. You know, I find it amazing that Jesus never sinned in his humanity, right? I'll probably sin by the time I get home today. But Jesus never sinned. He lived the perfect life. Therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. He was the Lamb of God. Remember that? Jesus comes on the scene. John the Baptist is there preaching away. John the Baptist sees Jesus. He says, look, the Lamb of God. He's come to take away the sins of the world. That's who Jesus is. One ultimate sacrifice to pay for all our sins. Amen? That's so powerful. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, are found seven words with the profoundest of implications. Matthew 28, verse 6 says, he is not here. He is risen. In Matthew's Gospel, Mark chapter 6, verse 16, says, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. You know what's so wonderful about Jesus? He rose from the dead. That's the greatest thing about Jesus. He rose from the dead. And he's the only one with the power to raise himself up from the dead. Amen? And Matthew, when Matthew said those words literally caused the religious world to come into this fragmentation of thought, because the resurrection is really the cornerstone of Christianity, isn't it? The resurrection is such a powerful event that it literally shakes and it literally breaks every religious belief that we have. When the angel proclaimed that Jesus is not here. He has risen. What he was saying to the disciples who were looking for Jesus' body and all those other people, he was saying, listen, what has been impossible for man has just been accomplished by God. He is not here. He has risen are the seven most powerful words of Christianity, because it tells, those words tell us of the one, the first and the only person of all of history who ever conquered death. Isn't that amazing? You know, for 20 centuries, over 20 centuries, the world has wrestled with the truth of these seven powerful words. The greatest attacks on Christianity have been attacks against the resurrection. Because both believers and non-believers alike understand that the truth of the resurrection will either determine that Christianity is real or whether it's false, right? If Jesus rose from the grave, that means Christianity is true. If he didn't, it means Christianity is false. Would you say that? It's really all that simple. The resurrection. If the resurrection happened, then the resurrection proves these three things. Number one, it proves that Jesus has power over death. Jesus conquered the power of sin and the power of death. Death could not keep him down. Number one, Jesus has power over death. Number two, the resurrection proves that you can personally trust him with your eternal destiny. See, Jesus not only proclaimed and predicted, he also fulfilled his own resurrection. And because of that, you can trust in the promise that he made to you, that when you die, you will be raised up to eternal life. Amen? And here's the third thing that the resurrection proves. The resurrection proves that every other religion is false. You know, I find it amazing that every religion claims to know how to conquer and overcome death. But there's none other than Christianity that actually claims to have a ruler who actually did conquer death. Right? This is Jesus. He was born in a barn. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. This is my wonderful Savior, Jesus. He's preeminent. He's timeless. He was there before even time began. He's preeminent. He's supreme. He is above all. He is creator, sustainer of all. He stooped down from glory to be born in a barn, a filthy stable. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross for my sins to pay for your sins, right? And he rose from the grave. You know what? There's no one like Jesus, and there will be no one that will ever be like Jesus. Amen? He's the ultimate King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Isaiah said, he shall be called what? Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, my prayer for you today is that you experience the wonder and the worship of Jesus this Christmas time. Amen. The baby that came to us, God's own son, Emmanuel. Can I ask you this question? How many are thankful for Jesus today? How many are thankful for Jesus? Let's thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your son. Thank you for coming at Christmas time. Now, thank you that we can celebrate. So I'm going to challenge you. This Christmas, let's talk about the wonder of Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Share about the goodness of God. Talk about Jesus' love. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate Christmas in the spirit of goodwill, in the spirit of generosity. Let's tell as many people as we can about Jesus. Amen? Yes. Amen.